Welcome to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. This special episode is produced in collaboration with Independent Art Fair New York City. It will be part of the fair's OVR for its next edition from May 5, 2022 on.
I'm Daniela, and this podcast is about my personal and also about a lot of other people's enthusiasm for art. Art can touch on all parts of life, and therefore we talk about all parts of life. I hope to get you on board and to tell you interesting stories you enjoy listening to. For our international listeners, the podcast will be held mostly in English. We're recording via the internet, so please excuse any glitches and sound quality.
Episode 58, recorded March 14, 2022. My guest today is RJ Messineo, New York City-based artist, who will be presenting their work with Moran Moran at Independent New York this year. Hi, RJ. Very nice to have you.
Hi, nice to be here. Thank you.
RJ, tell me a bit about your background and upbringing. Did you always want to be an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Connecticut in a suburb outside of Hartford. I think, you know, I always had some kind of art around in my life. My parents didn't necessarily have, you know, I don't think they were raised looking or thinking about art at all, but they had kind of pursued an interest themselves in their life and a relationship in their life to things. And so it was like, when I was a kid, I remember watching my dad, like listening to music, he would have his eyes shut. And it was like this full kind of experience. And, you know, they would go and look at things like a lot of like local Connecticut people who are working in the area. And if they saw something, they would connect, and they had things in the house that they had bought from people. Mm. And I think it was like, it was around me as a kid in the way that, so it wasn't like some kind of aha, like, oh, here's an encounter with a thing. But I do think that the aha thing kind of came more in my own relationship to making things myself. Mm-hmm. And I do have like some really distinct memories. I mean, drawing and was something I always did as a kid. And it was something I was good at. I had like the attention for it. And so, you know, I was even like looking at those kind of like learn how to draw books. And it was like, for a while, it was this thing where it was just like almost more about learning how to construct something, how to make the marks, like how to make it kind of smooth. And then I remember I was young, I was like in elementary school, and my art teacher in my school, she invited some kids to come and take classes in the basement of her house. And she had us drawing from life, and she had us drawing each other, and she had us drawing still lives. And it was like that experience of actually like looking and drawing. And I think this, like, something that happened in that really clicked for me. And it was like, I think it just like, I really, really connected. It kind of did something I needed really badly.
Because it really changed something in the real world?
Yeah. And I think it was also because like, I was kind of a, you know, would call like a tomboy at the time. You know, I was kind of like trying to fit into all these different conventions, and it wasn't really working for me. And so I think it was like this way of transcending a lot of that stuff in myself. Just like there was no pre-existing explanation for sort of what I was looking at and what I was doing. And it also was like almost like a meditative kind of, just all that stuff kind of went away for me in the process of drawing.
Did drawing help you to figure out yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was like a figuring out or if it was just like there was no need to figure it out. You know, it just took that off the table altogether. And it was like this kind of, I don't know, like a freedom of a kind away from it. And later I took another class. It was like a kind of an art guild kind of place where mm-hmm. people would have these studios. And so they would sometimes teach classes out of their studios. And I took one. And I remember I did this like watercolor of a fox. And it was like, I would look at this fox and I was like, where did this picture even come from? You know, like I was like, I don't know, I was just so startling to me. And I think I just craved that so much.
So do you think you dug into some unconscious image pool where you took that from?
Yeah, I think it had to do with like you're dealing with this material because it was like this watercoloring and, you know, it's like such a specific way of what it can do. It's like this relationship between the water and the pigment and then the paper kind of pushing back. So I think that in a way is like less about an unconscious, but I mean, maybe there's that aspect, but it was also just this like third thing in the room with me that was sort of like I was contending with and that brought so much there. And yeah, it was weird too. It was like, felt like I was sort of channeling something in a way, you know, like I didn't know how to do it, but there it was.
It definitely connected you to something larger.
Yeah, I think so. And I think so for me, I think I was just sort of chasing that. It was almost like, you know, like sugar or, you know, that experience, that feeling, that state of being, you know?
And so it was a very natural decision then to go to art school or university.
I mean, I think, yeah, I think it was kind of natural because it was like the thing that, you know, there was somewhat an expectation that I could go to college, that I would go to college. And it was the thing that I, you know, it was the only thing I really was good at in a school way. And it was what I like to do. So, yeah, I think it was pretty natural to make that decision.
Did you ever think about what it would mean to really like pursue a career as an artist, to exhibit, to do all these things? Did that ever occur for you besides like just doing your own work?
I don't think that what really factored into it too much until later. I mean, I think the versions of things were of artists that I had access to were people who did it and had other sources, like did other things as well. You know, it wasn't like a full-time life. I don't think I thought of like an artist as having like a role to play in society per se in that sense. Or if it was like something that was historical only, you know. That changed, you know, when I got to college and the people teaching me were professional artists. Yeah. So,
yeah. And so what do you think contemporary artists, what role do they have to play in society? What do you think your role in society is?
That's a
tough question.
That's a tough question. I mean, I think it's so different for a lot of different, but I do think there is a consistent thing that I think artists do where they are finding their own pathway. I mean, maybe this is changing in certain ways, but I think you have to go forward with this faith and you kind of go forward without knowing what the path is. There is this need to have that flexibility, have that ability to respond to different things and be willing to take this like level of risk that I think is that the society in general just isn't set up to allow for people to do. And so I think it's like being persistently willing to just exist in this like very precarious kind of situation almost by choice, you know, and then you're making things. And so I think some work will be outwardly speaking to the sort of contemporary moment and other things won't, but everything is kind of happening within it, you know.
And for yourself, what does painting mean to you now?
Yeah, it's sort of my life in a way. Being a painter is funny. It's almost like I think of it as in a separate category of being an artist.
Why?
It isn't, but it feels like it's such a specific way. Like I don't think about all the different things that I could do. Like I really feel held within the painting. And I think a lot of artists now, especially contemporary artists, don't feel that way in the way that they're approaching. It's like they can move in so many ways. And I feel really committed to painting specifically. And I don't really allow a lot of questioning of that into my practice. And I think that's really different than a lot of my friends and other artists. But there's a lot of painters who are like that. So I think, yeah, it's hard to say, like, what is painting for me? But it's sort of everything that I'm doing. I go to my studio like every day and there is this material relationship that has developed over time. And it is this state of being and this way of filtering through, or it's a very slow processing of my experience.
It's also a very physical thing. Your body being with the paint and the body of the painting and moving in space. I saw your works only online and on the first glimpse, some of them look very abstract, but they're also related to architecture and the body moving in space. So I was wondering how much your own body plays a role, your own physical experience plays a role in approaching a painting.
Yeah, it's a really big part of it. I've been working, it's actually changed a lot recently. One thing is I've had this injury. I've had a sort of back problems because I was a house painter for a while. And I do have some injuries from that kind of work. And so it was like, I recently have had to change a lot of things about how I work in order to deal with this. You know, like I can't lift heavy things, and my paintings are large and they have these big pieces of wood on the surface. Yeah. And they become very heavy. And so I have divided them, and I'm starting to work with them all in smaller sections. And so like each canvas is like a small panel, and it attaches, and they kind of can attach to each other and grow and expand. And then, you know, I can take them off. So that's one thing. Like the studio is very physical, and things are stacked, and things are constantly in flux. Like, I mean, I use these magnets to hold the boards on the surface. Like, I don't even like that they're magnets necessarily, but I just like needed something to hold these things up. Well, you know, because they're sort of like gravity was pulling them off. So I have these magnets on them because I wanted to be able to always like move everything. Once it's on the surface of the painting is made from these things moving around across the surface. And I recently moved to a new studio. I'm actually like making paintings right now in Massachusetts. And I have a new studio. I realize everything in the studio is on wheels. Like every piece of furniture, the couch is on wheels, all of the storage is on wheels.
And this is because your body directs that?
Yeah, it's like I need everything to be able to be up and to be able to be movable so I don't have to lift it. But it's funny because then when I'm looking at my studio and I see everything on wheels, it's sort of the same exact thing as the magnets. Like every piece is possible to change its location all the time. And I think that's become a really important way that these paintings are getting made and my whole like relationship to them.
When did that stop? Because that sounds like this is a major shift. I mean, sometimes, you know, those things that look like hindrances, they actually can be opportunities.
Yeah. Dealing with like breaking these large surfaces down is relatively just like maybe the last year. But I had a show in November in New York at Canada Gallery, and those works had these smaller pieces of plywood panel that are these rectangular pieces that then were made, you know, moving across the surface. And so that was kind of the beginning. I mean, I've used plywood before, but where it really was this kind of, that there was this sort of like temporal relationship to the composition where it was sort of changing through time as a way to sort of build composition as opposed to maybe a relationship with space or, you know, like the frame.
Mm-hmm. I cannot experience them physically right now, but I saw like a lot of movement in them. I saw a lot of brush stroke. I saw sort of like a lot of physicality in them. And what does that movement, what is that for you, physically moving in the space of the painting? Is the painting like its own reality in a way, apart from like the other reality?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that go on in terms of the physical way that they're made. And my own kind of mark making being quite physical. And, you know, I think some of it does have to do with kind of having this interaction with the surface. Like when I first started dealing with canvas, because before I was painting on canvas, I was building things. Like I was kind of constructing these things. This was like back in grad school. I was sort of finding things and piecing them together, and sometimes they would have painted aspects and sometimes they wouldn't. And there's always been this very consistent part of the practice that's about observation.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between the object and observation was sort of developing. It was the questions for me, you know, sort of like the thing I was working through. And then I think I got to this place when I moved to New York after school where I kind of understood the importance of this picture plane and like this, the space of the picture and the frame and or the canvas piece as like kind of containing a picture. And I think that became a really, you know, that sort of relationship between sort of observation and then a picture is really fraught and interesting for me. And I felt like it offered a lot, but my inclination was always to interrupt the canvas in some way. And I think it's complicate this like picture making to like in a bigger way. And so these panels, I think attaching the wood pieces, they provide this thing. So it's like when I move my body across with like a mark, it hits and bounces and jumps. Like there's something I'm like bouncing. Like there's something kind of meeting me in it with these surfaces. And so the physicality, I think, allows for this like interaction of the objectness or the material of the painting. So it's sort of like, here's this picture, but the picture is always getting complicated by this materiality of itself. I think that I kind of need that to move forward with the paintings. It still feels like a question as entirely why that is, but that's just been very integral to like just every time I sort of start that happens.
So how do you decide then when you say, okay, that painting is finished, it's ready to be exhibited? How does that process start? To me, it sounds like it's an ongoing conversation with the image and with the painting and with the material. And how can that ever
stop?
Yeah,
I mean, oftentimes it is just like, I'll make a painting between a certain time of year, mm-hmm. because it will change too much. Like, oh, I want to make a painting that's like a winter painting, but then it's spring and everything changes, you know? So you can't make that painting anymore. And you can either like paint over it and make something totally different. And it's, I guess it's still the same painting, or you stop and you sort of make another one. I mean, I tend to have a lot of paintings going at once, you know, like 7 or 8. I mean, my studio isn't too big that I can have too many more than that. But of these larger scale works, I mean, I have small things that I work on all the time as well. And so sometimes it's like that. It's like very specifically like some set of colors that I'm experiencing, or some kind of line or some kind of thing in, you know, I'm living somewhere that's pretty much the country, but it was the same way in New York. And so sometimes that's like the end point for me. And then other time, you know, it's like you get just sucked into the painting process itself. And it's like, you're making this thing and it, you know, it is interactive.
Yeah. It sounds like you're doing something with the painting, but the painting is also doing something with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of people describe that. It's been my experience. So much of the work, like for me, is there's these active periods with the work, but then there's just as significantly these like quiet times with it where it's sort of, I don't want to say it's dormant, but it's just sort of resting, you know, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it and I'm just like letting it settle, because a lot of times it's like you get to a point and then it takes a really long time to understand what it is that is happening. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will take a very long time, like a painting will be active for like, you know, almost a year, because there's a lot of resting periods in it. And so like I'll pick it back up again when it sort of looks the same again in some way. So sometimes you just like have those weird experiences where you sort of make a painting and you realize that it's finished, but it's not finished without that sort of 3 months of waiting to like see what it is. And then you realize, oh, you don't actually have to put any more paint on this thing, or you don't move it.
So it's not only space that plays an important role, it's also time.
Yeah, the time is really critical.
For example, now you will be showing with Moran in a solo presentation at Independent. And so there is a certain point where everything has to be exhibited and where everything has to be ready.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? With that kind of pressure also?
Well, it's kind of great, because then it's just like, finished. I mean, you know, it's sort of this like time, like the end point. I mean, I have this one painting I'm making right now that is just like, it's been kind of a really difficult painting for me. And I really think of it as like this motor. Like, it's been a hard winter, you know, and it's kind of, I do this drive to my studio every day. And it's like the painting is just kind of getting me through like the next day, like the next foot, the next step. And it is really like that kind of a motor. And I even think about it like in terms of music composition a bit, like where these different forms of composition. It's like, okay, here's this structure, and the structure is just to sort of move this thing through time, you know, and it kind of like, how do I say it? It's like, it's a form that like, I don't know, maybe I don't have the right language for this.
No, you have the paintings. I mean, you can only talk around them. You can't
really
talk about them, really.
Yeah, so it's like with this painting, it's like I kind of set up the structure of these small squares within these large frames. And I'm thinking about unit. It's almost like I keep the working title is like unit structures, because it's like just like these relationships constantly being in flux. And it's just like, I feel like I'm just grinding through this painting. Like it really feels like it's motor just kind of like getting me to the next thing. And, you know, I'm really excited for it to be finished. Like, it, you know, to be done with this painting, because I think, you know, it's almost like when winter is over. I mean, it's starting to thaw now.
And how many of those paintings will you show at the Independent? And do you have like an idea about, if you talk about structure of the painting, do you also think about structure of an exhibition?
I'm thinking a lot about scale. And I mean, always, mm-hmm. I think that's always like a huge subject. And in this works, there I basically have this started working this way where there's these smaller panels, and then I'm attaching them together. And then there's these boards on the surface. Some of them are large and some of them are small, the repeated size. And so there's this like set of relationships that start to happen around scale of like part to whole. And so I think in the show, what I'm hoping is that there's like a few variations on that. Because the palette's in some ways sort of consistent, actually. So, you know, then there's like very different ways of sort of using this format to a very different end, you know, like the painting themselves will kind of almost like fall on these like different points in this sort of spectrum of how to possibly make a painting out of these ideas. So I think I'm not exactly sure. I'm in the middle of working on them, exactly how many paintings there will be, but they've gotten larger than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. They keep kind of stacking, and then the tower is growing, and then they're kind of growing outwards too. So I like they've started to be like they were supposed to start as somewhat smaller works, but they're really not. So we'll see how that is.
They just show you how they need to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sort of the subject does dictate a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. Feels so different here because it's like the woods, you know, it's like so big, and then everything, and then the like unit, it feels so small in relationship to that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is the spaces in which we are, and the spaces in which we work, they influence what we do so much.
Yeah, so much. For me in particular, it's very tied. So just change studio to like change to make work in New York, to make work here is like a massive, massive change for me.
So you have to be really conscious about what studio you use.
It just becomes sort of the material of the work, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
You said the palette is kind of consistent. That does that mean that paint does not play so much a role when it comes to color, but more as a material?
Well, like this one painting I'm making on, it's this funny thing where it's like on the canvas part, there's these marks and there's these different colors. And then the sort of setup of the painting is that all the panels become sort of mixed between what's happening on the canvas. So there's all these like many, many neutrals that are happening. And it's like really hard to make paintings where it's like just so many versions of the same color, or like this, you know, so many versions of these neutrals and these grays. And so that's kind of like the world I'm in right now with them. I set that up. I mean, it was a problem I set up for myself on this particular painting, I think. I mean, I don't know if I set it up or it was just the problem that was like happening, you know? So it's like the color choices, it's like, you know, it's like what color does with these relationships.
Yeah.
And it sort of develops. Yeah, I guess there's like a material relationship to color, and it is an observational relationship. I mean, to color, it feels seasonal in a way, I think.
When you go to a studio and you start a new painting, how can I imagine that process? What happens first? How do you start?
I think I build the structure first. So it has a sort of changeable nature to it. Yeah, I start by sort of stacking these. I mean, these paintings, there are a lot of work like each board is cut, like I hand cut all these tiny little squares.
You have this carpenter inside of you.
Yeah, so it's like I have to cut all the squares and then they all have to be paint, like painted with gesso. Then it's like the canvases are painted and then it's like I'm stacking them together. So it takes a long time just to get to the point where there's just like this white set of canvases with these wooden boards on the surface that are also white, and I put them on with magnets. So it starts usually that way with these works, and then color gets kind of introduced.
That is just the second or third step. I mean, the way you talk about them, it really makes me want to see them in real space, because they, in my mind, they now develop a kind of like own beingness, you know, as if there would be some kind of personalities in a way, and probably not personalities, but for lack of a better word, I'd say personality on their own.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, that there is a lot about receiving for me in the process. Like I sit with them and I'm listening to them and I'm like responding to them. And it is somewhat the same way that I feel like I'm dealing with my experience of being in the world. It's definitely privileging like receivership and like attention and sort of sitting with things. And they're not declaring anything.
They just are.
Yeah. And I want them, in terms of people's relationship to them, I want them to also have an experience that privileges their own receivership of them. They take a long time to unfold when you're with them in the space, like when you're viewing them in person. They kind of change a bit over time if you were willing to sort of be with them over time.
So on an art fair, it's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Short time you spent with them.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So it's the first independent you're doing?
It's the first time I'm doing a solo booth at the Independent. You know, I've had work there, but I did a booth, like a joint booth in Dallas with Canada and Marin Marin. That's like 3 years ago, maybe now. And, you know, I think it was fine, actually. I think people did sort of linger with them. So we'll see. I mean, the Independent is interesting because it's much more about like this passing through, like it's very hallway feeling. I mean, not in a bad way, actually, but it's just like, I remember that about it. I like the fair a lot. I like that feeling of just kind of, so I think, yeah, we'll see how they go. I mean, they are very much about driving these paintings because I drive now to the studio, you know? And so that, in that sense, there is this kind of like drive-by experience. So maybe that will kind of work with the space.
So you changed the studio from New York to Massachusetts, and the past 2 years, which were like pretty special years, changed also for you in your work and also personally?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's been really, yeah, a lot of change. I have a 12-year-old daughter and my parent with someone from a former relationship. And, you know, she moved up here to Massachusetts during the pandemic for health reasons. And I kind of followed suit. And I have a relationship with this area. It's not far from where I grew up, actually, which has been its own weird thing about time and like collapsing of time. But and so there was a lot of change, a lot for me personally. And I think, you know, the new location has changed the work. But in certain ways, like I've been painting, like I actually quit my job. I was an artist assistant and I quit my job just about like 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago. I opened a show with Marin Marin actually today, like this day, but 2 years ago.
So it's an anniversary in a way.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, everything shut down basically the day that the show opened. And I haven't worked a job since then. I've just been painting, and it kind of happened partially just because the pandemic shut everything. And then I just sort of continued with it. And so that's a really big change for me. I mean, it's so amazing. So in some ways it's just been, yeah, such a good thing. Like I'm working all the time in the studio, but it's been a really hard set of years, I think.
And are you planning then to stay longer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be painting here. And then, you know, I have a studio in New York. I think it will kind of depend, you know, it's in some ways, it's like, once I start a body of work, it's not really possible to move the works. And So it's like I sort of have to commit to being in one place to finish that set of work. So, I mean, I'm going to be working here at least through the end of the summer for sure. And then we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. But you will go to New York for the Independent.
Yeah, I'll be there. I go a lot. I go to New York a lot still just to see things. And, you know, it's like still my home in a lot of ways. Here, I tried kind of doing a back and forth thing. It just really didn't work for me in terms of the paintings.
I think in the countryside, having a good studio and just being able to work, that can be really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like having the time, you know, anywhere that I am, it's like having the time to work and the space. I mean, yeah, those are the key.
Do you ever plan ahead so that you say, well, you know, it would be nice to work on that and that? Or is it really just something that has to happen in the moment you are in the studio?
Well, I think I'm like, there are certain concerns that I have. Like, I think I'll be working in this way for a while. And then at some point, I won't be working in this way anymore with these, like, you know, these kind of units that, these sort of unit structures, I guess, for a way of saying it. And it's like, I'm not wedded to any particular, no aspect of it do I feel like particularly wedded to, but it just, for the long term, I think it will change a lot. You know, I kind of will stay with it as long as it feels urgent to me to deal with it. And sometimes it's just like, you can't think of any other way to do it, you know?
Yeah. And then the painting at some point will tell you what to change.
I mean, they change. I think that they look different from year to year. You know, I think that doesn't bother me at all. Yeah, it's like I'm really following the paintings wherever, and other things too. I mean, the pandemic had its own influence. Like, those things are important to react to respond to, I think.
We're here in our bodies in this world, and we're having experiences, so we can't ignore that.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and I think that's what I'm trying to kind of set up situations where that is actually the, you know, that's the whole point. That's like the whole subject of the painting.
What are you looking forward to most when you are now staying in Massachusetts for the next couple of months?
What am I looking forward to the most? I mean, being up here for me is a lot about parenting. You know, my kid is turning 13, so it's like a really big transitional time for her. And it's kind of interesting to be back. She's a teenager and I was a teenager here. And I don't know, you know, I mean, there's some interesting things about it. And yeah, parenting is a huge part of what I do. Like, my daughter comes to the studio with me a lot. Yeah, so I think being here is a lot about that. And I worried, actually, when I first moved from New York that I wouldn't be able to paint. Like, I actually had that worry, like, what will I paint?
Like, without the city around you?
Yeah, it's like, is everything going to be different? Like, is this in it? I was like kind of terrified, really. But then it didn't stop, you know? It was like the practice, the habits are so long and they don't have to look like any particular thing and they don't have to have any particular format, you know? These sort of habits of interacting, I think, transcend all that stuff. And I found that to be true when I moved, and suddenly, like, instead of looking at what I had been looking at for the last like 4 years of painting before, it's like something totally, you know, it's just like big open expanse. There's just trees, you know, it's like the scale issues are totally different, but then it's like still scale is the problem, you know, that I'm thinking about. So I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So nature probably asks something different from you than architecture.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's also like in New York, I mean, this is sort of a whole nother thing, but it's like in New York, there's so much painting history there. In here, that's not the case. You know, there doesn't exist. It's almost like the ghosts or something are really different, you know, here.
Does that give you more freedom?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's quieter in a certain way, maybe. Yeah.
Does that make more space than probably to do something on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like sort of new, you know. I think it will take a long time to kind of like understand for myself, like making work here. But in the meantime, like, I'm doing it, you know, that's like kind of the way towards that.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, RJ.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast comes to you for free. If you enjoyed it, we kindly ask you to consider donating to a cause of your choice to support the victims of war in the Ukraine. You find a link to several organizations that provide support to the people in the Ukraine in the show notes. Voices on Art and Independent New York will each make a matching donation in partnership with Ukraine. Thank you. This was a special Voices on Art episode created in collaboration with Independent Art Fair New York. Listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the platform of your choice, on our website van-horn.net, and in the Independent OVR at independenthq.com. Follow Independent Art Fair on Instagram at independent_HQ and the podcast at Voices on Art and at van_horn_Düsseldorf. Thank you for listening to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. Stay tuned and connect.